RadioMD.com. Become a healthier you 5 days a week. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
In this new millennium, it seems that the younger generations are more and more open and explicit about sex. I was downtown this weekend and saw a bunch of the young 20-somethings coming from Lollapalooza, and they were in these little crop tops, and there was more butt cheeks than I could even count. So it would seem to an older broad like myself that they are much more sexually explicit and probably hook up a lot more, but that may really not be the case. My guest is Rachel Hills. She's a New York-based feminist journalist and author of The Sex Myth. Welcome to the show, Rachel. So I'm kind of wrong, right? What I was seeing on the train and these girls in these little tops and taking selfies and little butt cheeks all around, thinking, wow, they just must have a hookup party every night, because that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I think that is often the perception of the older generation. But as you probably recall from when you were in your 20s, the way that people dress doesn't always necessarily reflect what they're doing in the bedroom.
It doesn't. I mean, the fact is that we used to try and dress sexy, and we used to try and do that, and it wasn't all tie-dyed shirts and pants, but we used to try and dress sexy to attract members of the opposite sex, but it didn't mean we were jumping into bed with them. So what are we saying now about the millennials? And because I'm trying to learn millennial speak, I want to be able to. So what are we learning about them and the fact that it is seem to be a very vain, me-centric society with the selfies and the clothes, and what are we learning?
Well, I think that there's been a story over the past 5 or 10 years about millennials as being more highly sexed than any generation that's come before them. And I guess if you think about it, the same story was probably told about the Gen Xers and the baby boomers before them. So that's not entirely new. But what's interesting is that some of the academic research that's come out around millennials and sex shows that actually we are having slightly fewer partners than our parents' generation were. And while I think that casual sex is definitely something that is accepted by millennials on a kind of moral level, generally speaking, it's not necessarily something that's happening in people's lives on a regular basis.
So what are they thinking about that now? Have we sufficiently scared them today with AIDS and STIs and pregnancy and all those after-school specials that we watched ad nauseum? Are they sufficiently concerned about those things, or is there just more of a, and since you're a feminist journalist, is there more of a feeling of my body is my own and I'm not going to give it to someone till I'm damn good and ready?
Well, I think it's kind of like every generation in some sense. So people are certainly still sexually active. The majority of people are having sex. It's just that we also go through, we have sex in all sorts of different ways. So it's not this kind of monolithic hookup culture. Sometimes people hook up, but generally it happens once or twice a year if it's happening at all. And people also have long-term relationships, and that people also go through, unfortunately, when we're going through it, quite long periods of time when they're not having sex either. So it's more, there's a diversity of sexual experiences.
Is it? Are they doing different things than we did?
I don't know. What were you doing?
Well, no, I mean, you know, the things like one night stands, and it seems now that so many of the dating situations for some of the young people I know, and Rachel, let's just put this out there. I still kind of think of myself as that age, even though they look at me and say, yeah, right. But is it group dating is what I hear about now, and groups out. But this weekend, I must say that I saw more girls, so many girls, downtown Chicago that I was absolutely shocked, and definitely, you know, dressed like they were looking for love.
I think that's just kind of how young people dress. Like, I remember when I was 16 or so, I used to love to wear miniskirts. And I wasn't really trying to be sexy. I was just dressing in a way that I'd been taught by our culture was what pretty girls wore or what cool girls wore. And even though perhaps to an older person I would have registered as, you know, being an example of raunch culture, in my mind I was kind of horrified by the sexual attention that I got. I mean, that said, I was also only 16 at the time, so.
What are they saying about STIs and pregnancy, and is AIDS even still, I mean, because it still really affects millions and millions and millions of people every year, is that even in the mindset of millennials?
It's That's a great question. And even though it's not something that I necessarily cover in my book, it's definitely something I've covered in my journalism. And my sense is that probably people aren't as aware of HIV and of STIs as they should be. I think there's still probably a perception that that's something that happens to bad people rather than something that can happen to you. So I think that certainly amongst people I've spoken to, condom use seems to be something that happens more in casual sex than in long-term relationships. But of course, you don't know that someone that you're in a relationship with doesn't have an STI unless you both get tested.
Well, absolutely. Now, when you were doing research for your book, The Sex Myth, what did people tell you about their sex lives? What did they, I mean, this is the dirt here. This is what we want to know about. What did they tell you about what's going on? Are women still holding on to their virginity, or if they ever were, really?
Yes,
and
they ever were.
If they ever were, are they talking about it less? Are they more open about sex and talking about it with partners, talking about protection? Is it all more open today?
I think that a lot of the old taboos around sexuality are in decline. It's interesting that in America in particular, and, you know, there's a lot of focus on purity culture and this idea that people and women in particular shouldn't be having sex. But amongst the women and the men that I spoke to as well, that really wasn't the ideal that people were aspiring to. Rather, what people wanted to be was someone who was attractive and confident and kind of able to have whoever they wanted. But the source of anxiety was, of course, that this was quite an ideal, so their lives didn't necessarily measure up to that, and that was a source of some insecurity and stress for a lot of people I spoke to, feeling like they weren't sexual enough rather than feeling like they were too sexual.
And the name of your book is The Sex Myth, The Gap Between Our Fantasies and Realities. And that's interesting to me, Rachel, because back in the day we used to say, I hate to tell you this, dear, but you were better as a fantasy. And that it was, you know, I mean, you never actually said it to the guy, but it was written on the bathroom wall and some of those guys knew who it was they were talking about.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of an interesting title that you've chosen. In just the last minute and a half, 2 minutes, tell people kind of what you want the take-home message to be about millennials. And because a lot of our listeners are women in their 30s and 40s, and some of us even in our 50s, and we have daughters, and
yeah,
we have, you know, associations, and we want to get to know this generation and what they're thinking sexually. So give us your best advice and kind of wrap it up for us.
Sure. Well, I think my take-home message is to millennials, but I think it also applies to, as you say, people in their 30s and 40s and 50s as well. And that's the idea that you don't need to be having a particular type of sex life in order for your sex life to be good or in order for you to be a desirable, valid person. So it's fine to go through periods of your life when you're not having sex. In fact, that's entirely normal. Most of us have had those. It's fine for you not to be constantly trying out new sexual positions if you're happy with the ones that you're doing. And you don't need to be, I think a lot of people in couples, you know, they kind of monitor how often they're having sex every week. And you don't need to be feeling like you need to live up to a certain kind of minimum standard, which most people think of as being 2 to 3 times a week in order for your relationship to be good. So basically what I want is for people to become more comfortable with their sex lives and all the variations that actually happens.
What an interesting, interesting book, and it's called The Sex Myth, The Gap Between Our Fantasies and Realities. And for all of you older folks out there, get this book because it might give you a chance to get to know those millennials in a different way than you maybe even thought, and you might have been mistaken. And I certainly think that my eyes were opened a little bit here because I did see a bunch this weekend, and right away my mind flew to a whole bunch of stuff. But now I think I might have been a little bit wrong, and they might just be a little bit more virtuous even than we might imagine. You're listening to Radio MD. If you missed any of the great programming, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go. This is Melanie Cole. Stay tuned and stay well.